here in Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. We're told in the Bible, fear not, thou shalt not fear. All the different forms of don't fear. We're told not to do that if you read your Bible through 144 times. 144 times we're told, don't be afraid. If you use King David here in this psalm as an example, it's easy to see his childlike faith and his trust in God. In God's narrative of his life, I find where he got tired and weary, and I find where David, I find that he got discouraged. But I don't find where he was afraid until I read how King David prayed and cried out to God. God encourages us to use David as an example and a hero. When David experienced fear, he responded right. Verse 3 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. You see, there's two types of fears in the Bible. There's fear, which is the emotion of pain or uneasiness caused by the sense of impending danger or by the prospect of some possible evil. That's the emotion fear that we know. Then there's the fear of God. That's where we respect and we reverence God because of His power and His authority. There are blessings with the fear of God. God says, blessed is the man that fears the Lord. And a fool doesn't have any respect towards a God with that much power that created him. However, some, I find, fear is a natural emotion, but it's not supposed to control our decisions or dominate our lives. Some look at fear as childish. If you have courage, you're like a man, but if you have fear, you're like a child. And I don't think that's true. There are real dangers that can make the boldest man tremble. There are real dangers. In verse 3, if my soul suffers when I fear, I need to go to God in prayer. Prayer and trusting the Lord should be my natural response to fear. What do I do when I get scared? I get scared like everybody else does. I have things that I fear happening, and what do you do? As I was planning this message, how do you handle your fear? Fear is hard on our bodies. It's hard on our emotions and our mind. It takes your energy. When you're fretting and worrying, oh, what about this? And what's going to happen? Oh, good night. What's happening? What's going to happen? Everybody's wondering, what's Wednesday going to be like? Right? If you don't know what I'm referring to, God bless you. Okay? Then go back to sleep. No, don't. Our bodies respond to fear, the emotion fear, in a bad way. Our pulse rate goes up, anxiety, stress. And fear can take your health if you don't learn how to manage it. Fear can take your health. Because fear weakens us, the calmer we can keep ourselves in difficulty, the more credible our decisions are and the less haphazard. When you're afraid, you can respond and run into worse dangers than what you're actually running from. You need to be very careful with fear. Did you know Satan's main job is deception? The devil's main job is to get you to see things that aren't there. Revelation 12:9 says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He's a deceiver, he's a liar, he's a murderer, and his job is to get you to see things that aren't there. Satan's job is deception, but Satan's tool to deceive you is fear. When I read 1 Peter chapter 5, I read, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, in control of your mind. Be vigilant, slow to make decisions, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I've tried to explain this verse, but how does Satan work? The old lions don't hunt. They wait at the end of the trail, the path, and they roar. And the young lions wait back here. And if they can get the animal to turn and run away from the roar, then they're ambushed. And that's how lions hunt. Satan, like a roaring lion, is always roar, and he's always trying to what? Get you to respond in fear. So you can do what? Be ambushed. be spiritually ambushed and then taken. And God says, think. Don't make a hasty decision. Slow down. Be vigilant. Because you've got someone that's trying to kill you. And you'll walk differently. You'll walk differently. Fear is very real. The emotion fear is also very dangerous. Even though it is excusable sometimes, we need to be very careful to never let it control us so that we're making decisions because of the fear. I love 2 Timothy 1:7, and I wish we had time to look at it this morning, but for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as I talk with people as a pastor and I can say, how come you're doing that? Well, I'm scared. Then slow down and stop. Don't make a decision like that. God doesn't lead you with fear. God doesn't lead you with terror. You can do whatever you want, but my counsel to you is slow down. You're going to run into a trap. You're using the wrong emotion to make decisions. Don't make a decision out of fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. This morning, I love this verse, Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. And the first thing I'd like to bring across this morning is a fear that everybody who will ever go to heaven has had. And that's the fear concerning the guilt of past sin. If you're here this morning and you're lost, it is natural to fear. God does require that which is past. The wages of sin is death. I remember being convicted. I was so convicted, I thought that there was just a step between me and death. When you think of God's anger on sin, the terrors can hold you as you realize that you're not prepared to stand before God. When your conscience bears witness with a coming judgment, everybody knows judgment comes after wrong. Everybody knows that. That's how come when you don't spank your kids when they do wrong, you create frustrated children. And that's why I didn't say happy children are beat children. I said happy children are spanked children. Because when they do wrong, their conscience says, okay, I know I broke the rule. And then they what? It takes the spanking or the punishment to what? Release the conscience. That's how God made us. When we do wrong, we know we've done wrong. We know we've done wrong. Here, for you to get rid of your fear of hell, you must trust Jesus Christ because only His blood can wash away your sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Lord Jesus paid your sin debt. And I'm so glad that God's salvation is forever. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I put down here John 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you're burdened by your sin and fearful of hell and what God's Word calls the wrath to come, please, this morning, you could look to the Son of God who poured out His life for you and trust Him, and your sins are forgiven that very moment. If you've committed every form of iniquity and sin and you're scarlet stained to the bone, the crimson blood of Jesus washes you whiter than snow and your sins are cast into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. Jesus is the sinner's Savior. When you take Him by faith and put your trust in Him because He died for you. So the first fear I wanted to mention is the fear of sins of the past. Now, if you're a Christian this morning and you've been fighting God and you're still fearing sins of the past, then probably you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You don't need to get resaved. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? But sometimes a Christian can turn his back on God and know he's done wrong. And he needs to what? Go back to Bethel and rededicate his life to the Lord. Sometimes we're afraid because of the world around us and temporal troubles. I know that there's a lot of external stimulus right now available that can generate fear. The economy. China announced this week that it now owns our networks. That's funny to me. That blows my mind. How do they own anything in our country? They've been buying up our land here in America because we owe them so much money. But China announced this week they own our major networks now. 2 weeks ago, The whole internet service that came from America was given to the United Nations. Our president gave our whole internet to the... I have reasons on thinking why. And so they can now go after people that are, quote-unquote, not doing things politically correct, and it's no longer America's fault. But I knew that they had to do that. But anyways, there's... In the economy is shaky. In politics, you've got the election. You've got a global political instability. There's immigrants and Islam and terrorism and now the nuclear threat. And that's in politics. Then if you want to take, so there's the economy. You could get fearful about that. There's politics. You could get fearful about that. Then there's health. I mean, if that wasn't enough to stimulate you to fear, now you can be concerned about Zika and Ebola. How do you fight Zika? You don't. It's a mosquito. It's carried by mosquitoes. You can't fight it. You can't. In other words, how do you know what mosquito has it and which one doesn't? Then there's Ebola. Then there's MERS. Then there's HIV and AIDS, etc. And it goes on and on. Then there's endangered food and water supplies due to extreme weather. I think it's good to be informed, but listen closely this morning. Christian, if you want to immerse yourself in the world and its news and views, then you'll be disturbed, distracted, distraught, and defeated. I can only listen to so much of the news, and it's like, okay, my quota's filled. Time to shut it off. Yeah, yeah. Can it get more depressing? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. More to follow. Hang on. Have you ever learned that being informed doesn't help you solve the problem? Listen to what I just said. Does you learning what's going on help you solve the problem? No. Hasn't the election fraud and Hillary's email scandal taught you that there's nothing you can do about this world's affairs? I'm absolutely amazed. I have never in my life seen such deception and cover-up and filth. There's over 100 FBI agents said they wanted to quit this week because of the fraud. They said, we did not get in the FBI to protect this type of mess. There's nothing you can do about this world's affairs. We're supposed to be living, we're not supposed to be living for this world, but we are supposed to be living for the world to come. Would you take your Bible and go to Matthew 6? I'd like you to look at this. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Probably, what do I do when I get scared? What do I do when I get fearful? I need a reset button because King David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I need scripture to go to calm me down and remember it. And that's what I wanted to give you this morning was a few things. This is probably one of the most comforting passages. Watch this, Matthew chapter 6. Ready? I'll read verse 25. Just follow along with me. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat? More than meat and the body than raiment. Watch this. Matthew 6:26. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Christian, when you read your Bible, when Jesus says, I take care of the fowls and I'll take care of you. He's not telling you to be lazy. He's telling you quit worrying about things that are out of your control. Do you really believe you're more important to God than a bird? I hope you do. But that's what he's trying to get you to think about. Take no thought for tomorrow. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't even know if I'm getting up. And I'm not talking about my snooze issues, okay? I'm talking about, I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. I don't know if I'm dead tomorrow. All I know is I have today to live for God. That's all I know I have. And I hope I do wake it tomorrow. But I don't know that I honestly don't know what's happening tomorrow. And nobody here does either. Look at verse number 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, you can't change anything by your worry. And why take ye thought for raiment, your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Watch this, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, yeah, but you don't understand my business, and you don't understand the pressure, and you don't understand what we could lose, and you don't understand. Take no thought. Look, you're either going to give it to the Lord and realize He's in control, or you're going to have a stroke, or you're going to have an ulcer. And your ulcer and stroke won't make the situation any better. There, I showed them I got an ulcer. What do you think about that? They're going to go, so? Get another one. What do we care? Don't destroy your health over it. Don't take no thought over your food, over your raiment. Watch this. And I think this is a very comforting passage. I find myself taking refuge in this. Ready? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. I think when Jesus is teaching here, He's saying, that's what they worry about. They don't have Me as their Father. That's how they live. He said, you're not supposed to live that way. He said, I already know that you have need. I already know. I know how big your food storage is in your house. I love this. And this causes, I hope this is soothing to you this morning. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, listen to me. We're all done with that. And that's not the message this morning. That's supposed to be a comforting scripture. God promises to take care of us, and we know that. But honestly, we really don't trust God like I think He wants us to. I'm glad all of it. I think most people that I'm talking to this morning have food in your cabinet for tomorrow. If not, you're going shopping today, and I understand that. But because of the social programs in America and all that, we don't deal with extreme poverty. I mean, extreme poverty. I'm talking, and you say, oh yes, we do. There's people that don't have food here in America. You haven't seen starvation until you've been to Italy. When I walked out of the Vatican and I saw that mother holding that 10-year-old boy, and I'd never seen the two bones in the arm and his stomach bloated out like this, and she's sitting there. I'd never seen a starving child before. And I haven't seen one here in America. I have seen people that are in need, you understand, but extreme poverty, we don't deal with that here. You also see that down in Mexico, third world countries. You see, the unknown of the future causes us to be afraid, and God says, be careful what you give your emotion to. Outside of praying, there's nothing we can do about the economy, and praise God, God's economy is not tied to America's economy. Outside of praying, there's nothing we can do about the election. Outside of praying, there's nothing we can do about the weather. Outside of praying, there's nothing we can do about disease. Is a wife ever in charge of the time when she becomes a widow? The answer to the question is no. So she can either let the time with her husband be frustrated and her upset because one day he's going to die. Everybody's going to die one day. Well, honey, what are you so upset about? Well, one day you're going to die. Well, why don't stop worrying about it and let's enjoy the time that we have together? Wouldn't that be better than, is it going to happen today? You know, honey, you know what? Oh, good. It's going to happen one today, but it's going to happen someday. I don't know when. Enjoy it today. Everybody dies, but why let that control it to where you can't enjoy life. You can't enjoy life. You see, there has to be for every child of God a time when they trust God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. And we sung the song this morning, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You have to be able to say, I've done my best to earn a living, and I believe my Heavenly Father who feeds the ravens will feed me. And if God doesn't allow the pesky flies and mosquitoes to starve to death, then He won't let a soul that rests on Him to perish for lack of bread.
There has to be some release there that say, if God takes care of everything and He's in charge, then guess what? I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to let fear dominate my life. It is a hard thing to trust God, but it is also, listen Christian, it's a sweet thing. It is sweet to leave tomorrow with God and depend upon your Heavenly Father. And only the Christians who have surrendered know that sweet release. But what happens if I just let it go? Let God handle it. You want to know a beautiful verse? He's already in your tomorrow. He goes before us. He's the forerunner. He's already in Tuesday. He's already in Wednesday. All I need to do is just relax and let Him lead the way. He knows what tomorrow holds. Christian, are you relaxed in the fact that your Heavenly Father can help you? Listen to these verses. Just listen this morning. Psalm 2 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Psalm 18 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." When King David was running from Saul in the caves of Adullam, I took the teenagers on a spelunking trip down in Tennessee, and we went 300 feet under the ground. And then you go through there, you know, and I'm with the guys, and we're through that. And then I gave that devotion that night. And I said, what did King David mean when he says, "Thou art my rock"? And I was feeling the walls in the cave. I said, can you push any of them? You couldn't touch them. You know, you couldn't budge them. The Lord is my rock, and He's my refuge. And King Saul's hunting me like an animal, but I'm safe. And the Lord is better to me than this cave. He's my rock, and He's my fortress. And I love thinking about that. One more verse, Psalm 37, verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Psalm 37, 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Does everybody know what the sovereignty of God is? The sovereignty of God, that's a big word. It's not a big word. Sovereignty means God's in charge, God's in control. How did King David make it while he's being chased like an animal? God knows what's going on, I guess I'll trust the Lord. How did Daniel make it when he's being lowered into the lion's den? I don't think he knew what was going to happen. I think he was going, "Oh, I can't wait till this is over. Lord, let one of them snap my neck. That would just be wonderful. But to gnaw on my ankle for a half hour is really a bummer." I don't think the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew what was going to happen when the guards were pushing them and they're bound into the fiery furnace. And they're like, "Oh, this is going to hurt." And then they get in there, and their ropes burn off, and there's Jesus right beside them. Wow, what a day. What a day. The sovereignty of God is God's in control. And there's some time you have to relax and say, you know what? My God's bigger than tomorrow. I serve a big God. I serve a big God, and I relax in it. While playing, the little child kept running to the stairs every 10 minutes, and he'd say, and would say, "Mom, are you still there?" And she would say, "Yes, I'm here." 10 minutes later, "Mom, are you still there?" "Yes, I'm still here." And he'd go back and play. 10 minutes later, this goes on for a long time. In other words, he needed to hear that Mom was still there until he started wondering, did she leave? And he goes back, "Mom!" Christian, I hope you read your Bible during the week and you're reminded that He's still there. If not, you're going to get fearful. You're going to get fearful. You need to hear His voice saying, "I'm still there." Psalm 56, verse 3, "What time I am afraid, when I get scared, when I get worried, I will trust in Thee." I will trust and not be afraid. The third fear I'd like to talk to you about this morning is Satan's deception. Paul feared this. In 1 Corinthians 9, he said, every man striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. He's talking about the Olympics, the Greek Olympics. But we are striving for an incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm not in a shadow boxing match. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I think there's a legitimate fear that all of us should have, but it can't freeze you in your walk with God. You say, what is that? Paul feared that he would reach the point one day when he had preached to others that he himself would be a castaway and he'd be useless to God. That's a legitimate fear everybody needs. Lord, could I ever betray you one day? Could I ever be a Judas to you? Could I ever turn my back on you? And the answer to the question is, yes, I could. I hope you say, well, yeah, I could. I could betray the Savior. I could betray the Savior. You see, I don't fear losing my salvation. I don't fear not holding out or holding on to the end. It's my job to run with patience the race that is set before me. But I am not trying to persevere. I am preserved, praise God. 1 Peter 1:5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I'm kept by God's power, not my power. When God begins to work, He doesn't ask us to finish it. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What God started in you when He saved you, He'll finish. I'm not worried about Jesus. It's me I'm worried about. He's faithful. I'm not. When you get saved, you see, praise God, Jesus wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and He didn't write it in pencil. But I do fear that I would be deceived in thinking that living after the flesh is all right and there's no need to deny myself, and when I reap what I sow, then I become a castaway. I do fear becoming useless. Satan knows he can't take you to hell once you're saved. So he tries to make your life a living hell until you get to heaven. He tries to get you to doubt your salvation. And Christian, if you're here this morning, if you're going, I just don't know if I'm saved or not. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're saved. But have you ever noticed? Satan deals with questions. His first thing God records in the Bible about Satan, Genesis 3. Yea, hath God said? Satan's always casting doubt. Are you really saved? Are you sure you're going to heaven? And how does God deal with you and me? He deals in commands, doesn't he? God never questions us. God tells us. And if you're, sometimes a Christian can get an onslaught by the devil, and the devil's going, are you really saved? Are you really saved? Christian, if there's been a time in your life when you saw yourself as a sinner and on your way to hell and you've trusted Jesus and God says you're going to heaven, but sometimes the devil gets you with questions to doubt. That's his specialty. You see, since Satan's job is to deceive and introducing to you things that aren't real, to distract you, to get you to run in fear, stay in the Bible so you can see straight. Let me say this. Fear that is healthy to fear your, it's healthy to fear your flesh so you can keep it under subjection. I won't turn to it. Just listen. When they were at the, do you realize all the disciples that night when they were at the Lord's Supper, do you realize all of them said, Lord, is it I? And what did Judas say? Then he was the one who said by himself, Master, is it I? And I think it was a careless request. Because Judas was, oh man, that's good. Oh, let's get some of that sop there. Lord, who's going to betray you? The one that dips after me. Judas was right there. He heard him. He's, oh, this is good. Good. And Jesus dips, and they all watch. Everybody got it but Judas. You would have thought Judas went, oh, this is good. Uh-oh, I'm the one. You would have, he was like, oh. And then Jesus looks at him and says, what you do, go out and do quickly. You know, all the other disciples were sitting there going, Lord, is it I? You said one of us is going to betray you. One of us is going to turn our back on you, and we've been with you for 3.5 years and seen you do. You're the Son of God. Lord, is it I? And I have found this, every good Christian does ask themselves the question, Lord, is it I? Because there's people who aren't in church now who used to be. And I'm just as susceptible as any. I've met pastors out soul winning. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you die today, you 100% sure you got... I used to be a pastor. Really? Yeah, I'm out of the ministry now. I don't go to church anymore. Sends cold chills down my spine. Do you know why? I'm just as susceptible. Lord, is it I? That's a healthy fear. You know why? It keeps you keeping your flesh in subjection. It keeps you saying, I don't want to be a castaway. So it pushes me to serve because I'm just as susceptible to quit like anybody else is. And that's a good fear. You see, I respect the devil, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. My enemies are my flesh, the world, and the devil. And it's in that order. Your greatest enemy is when you look in the mirror. It's yourself. Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Remember, to fear your flesh is good. What time I am afraid, then I what? Trust in thee. I trust in the Lord. And let me talk to you this morning about the fear of death. In the Old Testament, there was a fear of death because Christ had not come to deliver them yet. And if I went to Hebrews 2, I'd tell you, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I think death is scary to all of us because we have never done it before. That's a good thought. That's a good thought. Okay? Well, I haven't died yet. Okay, that's good if you're rejoicing in life, but that thought also, how can you act and so? Every time I watch somebody get stupid on a motorcycle, my blood runs cold. Going in between the cars and stuff like that, is there an accident waiting to happen? I know what they're thinking, well, I haven't died yet. I was like, man, you're stupid. You'll do on two wheels what you'd never think about doing on four. That's nutso. That's nutso. Okay, back to the pulpit. Ready? I think we fear death because we don't understand it. There are two scriptures that I'd like you to see this morning. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Can we go there? 1 Corinthians 15. Watch this. I think there's two scriptures that ought to mean a lot to you as a Christian. As a Christian, you say, "Well, I don't know what death is totally like. I've been with people when they die." But a Christian view of death is supposed to be, it's different than the world. We're almost done. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 53 at the end of that chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 53. 1 Corinthians 15, 53. For this corruption, this body, this corruptible, must put on incorruption, our new body. And this mortal must put on immortality, our new body. So when this corruptible, this body, shall have put on incorruption, our new body, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I'm going to give you a philosophy. I think Christians die differently than lost people. The sting of death, the pain, what's a sting? You know? The sting of death is sin. And if your sins have been paid for and under the precious, that doesn't mean Christians don't die painful deaths. I'll just say it again. The sting of death is sin. And O death, where is thy victory? I believe Christians die differently than lost people. And I believe God does something for a saved child of God. I've watched people die with brain cancer, one of the most painful cancers. I've seen people die with bone cancer, painful cancer. I've seen people die but I'm just saying, I think there's something special. If you're fearing, you say, Pastor, I don't fear death. It's the pain before the death I don't like. Okay, I don't either. But that's my refuge. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. The sting of death is sin. And what did Jesus pay for on Calvary? our sin. I can't explain it to you. We'll get together in heaven and have coffee, probably, and we'll talk about it, okay, when you get there. I just know this, Christians die differently than lost people. Can I take you to one more place that ought to mean something to you? Go to Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Ready? What do you do when you fear death? I'm not looking to die. I don't want the next train out. I also understand it's something that's totally out of my power, and it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You're gonna die. It's gonna happen someday. Nobody escapes it. So since then, what is a Christian view of death? 1 Corinthians 15 should bring some relief to you, and Philippians chapter 1. Ready? Look at verse 21. For to me, Philippians 1, 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I'm in a strait, I have a choice betwixt two. Having desire to part, watch this, and to be with Christ, those words, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more. Did you know that for a Christian, I know, and none of us are suicidal, I think that's an unhealthy mindset. But God does say, the day I get to depart from this body and be with Him, I'll be far better. Well, I'm scared to death, but haven't you seen the release that the person that's dying with the pain, when the death happens, the pain's gone. And if you could see them in their new body, you wouldn't want them to come back into the old nasty body that they were suffering in, because it's gone. If anything, for a Christian, it's not a cessation of life, it's a transfer. And it's a release from the suffering and the pain. For us, you see, the world, I get scared with the world because this is as good as they got it. They're lost, and when their heart beats for the last time, the flames begin. And the burning and the writhing begins. This is as good as it gets. I'm not for their party, but I understand why they party. This is all they have to live for. We have something different. And God says to depart and to be with Christ is far better. What a verse. If this morning, if you're scared of death, I'm not trying to get you to be anything weak and suicidal. I am trying to say the Scriptures should control your mind and how you think. And that fear, you need to let it go and say, you know what? You know when I die? When God's done with me. And did you know this? I love this thought, Christian. I'm immortal until God's done with me. Have you ever thought about that? Nothing's going to happen to me while God's using me. And you know when I'm going to heaven? When God's ready. Did you know it's already on the timetable? It's already there. It's already there. And the same thing is true. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to turn to drugs or alcohol. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Now I want to show you one more thing, and then we'll close, okay? You saw Psalm 56:3. Could you turn to Isaiah 12? And this is the last place we'll turn this morning. Isaiah 12. We sang the song, Isaiah 12:2. I just want to show you this. What a wrap-up for this truth, okay? You ready? I hope you leave church this morning trusting in the Lord and seeing He's worthy of your trust. And maybe you haven't been trusting Him like you should. But whatever you're scared about this week, you can trust in the Lord and He'll help you. Isaiah 12, verse 2 says this, "Behold, God is my salvation." Look at this. "I will trust and not be afraid." So Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I'll trust in the Lord. And then Isaiah 12:2 says, here it says, "I will trust and not be afraid." So, Christian, you've got a choice this morning. Are you ready? You can either wait till the fear hits and then trust the Lord, which is what you ought to be doing, or there's one step better. You can go ahead and just keep trusting in the Lord, and then you'll never fear. Do you see how one comes before the other? Isn't that beautiful? You can either, you're right, the right proper response to fear should be, okay, I'm uneasy, I'm nervous, I'm scared, what do I need to trust in the Lord, need to let God have it. Lord, I'm giving it to you. But there's one step better. You could leave trusting and not fear anymore. Isn't that beautiful? You say, how do you do that? You stay in the book. You stay in God's Word. You see, you trust in the Lord. Your trust in the Lord is not only the cure for fear, but your trust in the Lord is also the preventative so that you never fear. Christians who trust in the Lord are happy Christians. I didn't say lazy people are happy. I said trusting Christians are happy Christians. Remember the surrender I told you about? It's hard to surrender. It's hard to trust Him. But when you do, it's sweet. God, tomorrow's in your control. Thank you. I'm just going to serve you today, and I'm just going to trust you. And thank you that you've got it all worked out. Let's pray. Father, please use the truth this morning. I wish for